This message is on the attitudinal quality of positive self-awareness. You know, winners really are more aware. They're well aware of how little they really know about anything in their world. But they're eager to learn, especially about their own potential contribution to the quality of life. And winners are keenly aware of the abundance available to them in the three main arenas of life. These arenas are full of interaction. They are not separate, nor are they independent, and each is full of unexplored possibilities and untapped potential. To losers, the three arenas look like a three-ring circus where too many confused activities are going on at one time to ever get perspective or focus. But for the winners, these three circles, which harmonize with each other into three concentric zones of growth, each complementing the other, make up what I like to call the winner's circle in life. The outer circle contains the many environments which act upon you and upon which you act. It's the arena outside of yourself, where your professional and your social and your family and education and leisure activities take place. And it's full of tremendous abundance everywhere. But let me ask you, how many sunrises and sunsets have you watched this month? How many good books have you read? Is your education continuing? How's your sailboat? How's your family? How's your golf game? Have you fed or clothed an orphan this month? How's your income? Are you independent or looking forward to Social Security? Are you getting and giving enough in your outer circle, your wonderful environmental abundance? The next related circle in your life houses your physical potential, all the skin and the bones and the cells and the parts and the muscles that make up your physical being. More abundance. In many of us, too much abundance from overeating. Let me ask you this. How's your body these days? Are you fat and sluggish? Are you gaunt and nervous? Do you puff going up a flight of stairs? What kind of fuel do you put into your magnificent machine, your one and only transportation vehicle? Is it full of smoke? Are your brain and liver pickled in alcohol? Do you fuel it up with high-test meals, or do you use low-octane burgers, tacos, and hit-and-run junk food? Is your body a Ferrari that you tune and tweak for the Grand Prix of the Le Mans? Or is it a clunker parked by the curb to get you from birth to death any old which way? Well, if you abuse it, you won't get to use it as long. Winners are aware that their bodies cannot be traded in for a new model, and that their performance in the outside environmental world is dependent upon good health. You can only do good if you feel good. The innermost circle, seemingly the smallest, is really the largest arena of all. It controls all of our actions and reactions in the other two arenas. It's your mental arena. It houses your thought processes inside your brain and central nervous system. Talk about abundance. Dr. William James, a recognized leader in psychology, said even the most effective humans utilize less than 10% of their mental potentials. Well, it's much less than 10%, no more than 1% at the most. The Brain Research Institute at UCLA has concluded that the ultimate creative capacity of the brain may be infinite. In other words, no limits at all other than self-imposed. If you put 1,000 IBM computers in tandem linked together, floor by floor in the Empire State Building, you wouldn't have a fraction of the memory or calculating ability of one 10-year-old human brain, because your brain's a Xerox machine, a Polaroid camera, a Kodak carousel, a Betamax videotape recorder, a Technicolor widescreen projector, and 10 billion miniature microfilm cartridges, all delicately designed into one storage battery floating in an electrochemical solution. Well, with all this virtually untapped and limitless mental potential, why aren't we more creative and resourceful and inventive and effective and thoughtful? What are the resistors that block our fulfillment and frustrate mental effectiveness? Well, laziness, to be sure, is one. Who cares? Why bother? And fear is another big one. It's too risky for me. But far more obstructive and destructive than these two is a limited self-awareness resulting from negative attitudes. This lack of awareness creates the major energy gap and motivation, preventing the release of full human potential. Real self-awareness is self-honesty. Winners are honest about their potential, and they're honest about the time and effort necessary for top achievement. Winners can look in the mirror and see what lies behind their own eyes. You're a real winner when what you think and how you feel and what you do are nearly consistent. Losers are unaware of their environments. They're unaware of the needs of others and unaware of their own personal involvement with life. But winners are sensitive. They're more tuned in and more turned on than others around them. And they don't need drugs or external stimulants to make life a real happening. They're that way naturally. The losers become hardened and cold and closed to new ideas and new opportunities. And this hardness can range from intellectual cynicism to indifference to apathy to prejudice and aloofness to vulgarity and rudeness. Losers suffer from hardening of the arteries that connect their insights with their hindsights and foresights, and so losers are narrow-minded. But the winners are open. They see the many alternatives in every situation. They look at relative rather than absolute facts. Self-awareness is open-mindedness. Are you open-minded? Do you look at life through your parents' eyeglasses? Are your prejudices inherited, or are they your own? Is your skin white, and do you wish you could sport a deep bronze tan all year round? Or is your skin brown or black and you wish maybe it was white? Self-awareness is realizing that skin color, birthplace, religious belief, sex, financial status, and intelligence are not the only measures of worth or worthiness. Self-awareness is accepting the fact that every human being is a distinctly unique individual and thinking how good that is. No two people alike, not even identical twins. We're unique in our fingerprints, unique in our footprints, even in our lip prints. Bell Telephone has discovered that each of us speaks with a different sound frequency, unmatched by any other person, and is in the process of developing a voice print system that will provide instant positive identification electronically. Before the year 2000, it will be possible to do away with ID cards and credit cards and phone calls to banks, signature comparisons and fingerprint checks, by stating your own name audibly into a microphone at the counter or the check stand. Your voice print frequency will be compared with the one on file at a central computer. No more phony checks or stolen credit cards. We all speak at different frequencies, and we think at different frequencies, too. How many times have you heard people say, you know, we're not on the same wavelength? We've been trying to get on the same wavelength for many centuries. The pursuit of mind-expanding techniques toward a heightened state of self-awareness has been a mysterious journey beginning perhaps in the high mountains of Tibet. And today, the quest for mental and physical self-awareness ranges from the ridiculous to the sublime, from electronic hi-fi stereo alpha brainwave simulators to hashish, to LSD trips, to EST, to the quiet meditation of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. No wonder there's so much discord in family, social, and international life. Every individual hears a different drummer, sees through a different lens, perceives through a different filter, and decides as a result of a different computer program in his or her own unique brain. The ability to accept the fact that everyone is unique and to be able to understand another person's point of view as if you were that person is empathy. And empathy is the ability to walk in another Indian's moccasins for a mile before passing judgment. Empathy is feeling with someone else, while sympathy is feeling for someone else. Empathy is when you watch the marathon runners at the 20-mile mark and your own legs ache. Empathy is watching the movie Rocky and hardly being able to lift your own arms at the end of round 15. Ask yourself the questions. How would I like to have a husband like me if I were my wife? How would I like to have a manager like me, a boss like me, if I were my employees? How would I like to have a mother like me? How would it feel to be a white shoeshine boy in downtown Nairobi? What would it be to be an American maid in an exclusive district of Mexico City? Are you able to empathize with young people, or do you tell them to shape up or ship out? Does it exasperate you that there are so many weirdos around compared to you? Did it ever occur to you that you may seem really weird to others too? What is certain is that we need to understand what being human really is, and that is a changing, growing, imperfect, but amazing living creation. And the winners have that marvelous ability to understand their own relationship to their environments and to the many people and events that interact in everyday life. Winners realize that adaptability is the key to success and even the key to survival in today's world full of sensory bombardment. During the past 50 years or so, electronic technology advancements in telephone, television, satellite, and computer communications have accelerated to the point where we are subjected to more information transactions in a single day than our grandparents experienced in their entire lifetimes, more in one of our days today than in all of their lives. And yet there's been little change, if any, in our evolution during the past 500,000 years in our ability to cope with or adapt to our rapidly changing society. And here's the key to winning self-awareness. Winners learn how to relax and cope with the trials and tribulations of everyday life. They know that little has changed since the days of their ancestors, when at the first hint of a dangerous or threatening confrontation, the body automatically mustered its defenses in preparation for fight or flight. But instead of a saber-toothed tiger a week, it's the onslaught of freeway traffic twice a day and at least one or two unwelcomed or unpleasant interpersonal surprises before bedtime every night. The losers in life overreact to what is happening, like cave dwellers. They flare to anger quickly. They get defensive easily. The blood pressure jumps as the heart rate quickens, as the adrenaline flows, as they rush headlong into an imaginary struggle for survival, or as they run and hide from imaginary predators and volcanic eruptions. The effect of this type of daily distress, or negative stress, is devastating to the mental and physical health of the individual. And so the loser drinks more, smokes more, and pops more Valium tablets to cope. Dr. Robert Elliott, chairman of the Board of Governors of the American College of Cardiology and president of the International Stress Foundation, is studying the relationship between stress and heart attacks. Dr. Elliott refers to the syndrome of invisible entrapment, or the deep-down worries and frustrations and anxieties of people unable to cope effectively with their changing status in a changing world, as the major factors in the increasing incidence of sudden death from heart attacks and stroke, as well as other mental and physical illnesses. While we are in the process of conquering infections attacking us from the outside, we seem to be losing to those that result from our own inner conflicts. Positive self-awareness is one important answer. Dr. Hans Selye in Montreal, Canada, acknowledged world pioneer and recognized father of early stress research, has suggested in his books and in several face-to-face interviews with me that each individual should find his or her own healthy stress level in life and operate within that level. He generally categorizes us as racehorses or turtles by nature. And everyone knows that a racehorse loves to run and will die if corralled and confined, while a turtle will die from exhaustion if forced to run on a treadmill or freeway moving too fast for his own unique, steadfast, step-by-step nature. Being truthful with ourselves means the responsibility of making the best use of what we have, our minds, our abilities, our talents, and just a little time to spend. The choice is ours, and it's here that personal honesty and integrity determine whether we'll really win or lose our own ball game in life. If we make good use of our minds, our abilities, and our talents, this will become illustrated in our outer lives. And if we make the best use of our time, this too will give us a great advantage. For we know that scarcely 1 in 1,000 people ever put their time to anywhere near its potential good use. This is being true to ourselves. In the final analysis, we're the only ones from whom we can steal time, talent, and ability. It's the only way on earth to real and lasting success of any kind, self-honesty, self-awareness. All we have to do to be a healthy human being with winning self-awareness under every circumstance is to ask ourselves, is this true? Is it honest? And then go ahead with the realization that we've taken care of the cause and that the effect will take care of itself. The psychology of winning is realizing that a person who does not read is no better than the person who cannot read, and that a person who does not continue to learn how to adapt and to grow is no better than the one who cannot grow. It's understanding that we must walk with truth every day of our lives and be open to better alternatives to win. Take action today for more positive self-awareness. Realize that you don't need to change your present environment. Losers keep changing jobs, cities, states, wives, husbands. Change your attitude and change your behavior in your present environment. And schedule a comprehensive annual physical with your own physician or a reputable clinic. I don't mean a blood pressure urine test and a thank you exam. I mean the works once a year. Blood samples, EKG, upper and lower x-rays, proctos, every nook and cranny. Every 2 years, schedule yourself at the Mayo or Scripps Clinic for an even more detailed physical. Don't wait for the flat tire or dead battery or engine knock. Get a prevention check and a tune-up. Break the daily routine you've set for yourself. Get out of your comfortable rut. Go to work a different way. Instead of taking a Valium, take a walk near the flowers. Make a list of I ams, two columns. Assets, or I am good at, in one column. Liabilities, or I need considerable improvement, in the other column. Pick your 10 best and your 10 worst traits. Take the first three liabilities and schedule an activity that will help you improve in each of the three areas. Forget about the rest of the liabilities and remember and relish all of the assets. Try to look at yourself through other people's eyes. Imagine being that person married to you. Imagine being your own child. Imagine being your employee. When you walk into a room or office, imagine that each person is saying two descriptive adjectives about you. What would they be in each case, and why? And take 15 precious minutes each day for you alone. Relax and breathe deeply, and meditate as if you were lying in the center of a waterbed the size of a football field. Float freely, and give yourself at least one beautiful quarter hour out of every 24 to be aware that your life belongs to you. Practice positive self-awareness, the honest openness to alternatives, to adaptability in life, and to the abundance in our lives, which is limited only by our own imaginations.